This is Making Sense of the Media. I'm Mary Shedden with Kelly McBride of the Poynter Institute for Media Studies. Last week, the New York Times exposed movie mogul Harvey Weinstein for his sexual harassment of women for decades. This week, the country's paper of record announced a new editor dedicated to leading coverage of gender issues, more specifically, women. It comes at a time when there's been a flurry of news stories about powerful men and powerful companies harassing women, discriminating against them, and otherwise making work life miserable. Here's just a sample from Network News.
The newest bombshell accusation against Harvey Weinstein from Gwyneth Paltrow. She was 22 years old, and Weinstein had just cast her in a role that would catapult her career.
The women of Silicon Valley have had it up to here with being groped, ogled, and propositioned by men who see them as conquests instead of colleagues.
Kelly, is the New York Times capitalizing on a fad?
You know, I think this is more than a fad. The New York Times has always had a really good record of doing deep, thinky kind of pieces on gender issues. There are other publications that have more of a record. In fact, Jezebel, which was formerly owned by Gawker, has made a cottage industry out of covering these issues. So I think there's demand for this, and I think that what we're realizing in journalism is that there's a lot of stories that we just haven't covered.
What's behind the movement?
In an interview with one of our editors here at Poynter, Jessica Bennett, the new editor at the Times, said that a lot of these stories have been hiding in plain sight, but that the media has been missing them. For example, there was a story about Uber's misogynistic culture that was actually self-published as a column on Medium, which anyone can publish on, earlier this year by a former female engineer. That story had legs, meaning that it went viral. People couldn't stop talking about it. It forced the ouster of the CEO. It led to many other revelations in Silicon Valley. So this story reminds me of so many times in journalism when there are issues that are lying around, and to reporters, they feel overripe. They feel like we've already told them. So one small thing happens, and the story just explodes.
Like when?
Well, so the Catholic priest abuse story was exactly this pattern. There had been a decade of telling stories about it, and then Boston broke open the connections to cardinal law. It happened with the Bill Cosby story. It happened with the Weinstein story.
This is interesting because most newsrooms have their own problems with gender equity, right?
You are right, Mary Shedden. There is a disparity in the front page bylines that get on the newspaper. There is a disparity in who gets promoted in the journalism industry. And there is certainly a disparity in gender in the executive suite. And this is in spite of the fact that 70% of journalism grads are women. So this is typical of all American industries, but journalism is no exception.
Kelly McBride of the Poynter Institute. It's hard to imagine that roughly 50 years ago, news focused on women was relegated to the feature sections of most newspapers.
Ha, the women's pages. Back in the day, those were about cooking and housekeeping and entertaining. And we still have food sections and style sections. And we also have the sports section, which is a predominantly male product in printed publications. But you know, the internet actually makes this easier for publishers because the categories in the digital space really don't matter because everything gets atomized.